From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Thursday, October 6th, 2016. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. On today's show, we've got a packed one, folks. We will invite our dear friend, Mr. James Moore, former MSU fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl team, Lansing Sexton grad, and assistant coach now for the DeWitt Panthers football squad. James will join us on the show to talk about what in the world is going on with the Michigan State football team. He will also talk about, on the contrary, the incredible start for the DeWitt High School football team. The Panthers absolutely rolling right now. They have clinched at least a share of their 11th consecutive league championship. Can you believe that? Just total dominance by Rob Zimmerman and the Panthers. So James will weigh in on that. We will also continue our conversation on the troubled wide receiver that is Odell Beckham Jr. And we will invite three of our fantastic Current Sports production assistants and reporters to talk about our newest content that you can view right now on WKAR.org. All of that, including Throwback Thursday, where each and every Thursday we hop into our Current Sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history, that and more. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks. Michigan State's athletic director, Mark Hollis, has been named first vice chair of Lead One, formerly known as the D1A Athletic Directors Association. Now, Lead One is an association of all 129 athletic directors from NCAA FBS schools whose mission is to influence how the rules of college sports are enacted and implemented, advocating for the future of college athletics and providing various services to the members. Now, Michigan State announced that Hollis, who is spending the year as the chair of the NCAA Men's Basketball Committee, will assume the chairmanship of Lead One on July 1st of next year, taking over for Jack Swarbrick, the vice president and athletic director at Notre Dame. Congratulations to Mark Hollis. That's also a good look for Michigan State as a whole. All right, the NCAA's newest proposal will restrict schools to just 10 days of satellite camps and force coaches to only hold them on college campuses. This looks like a new rule aimed directly at Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh, who held satellite camps across the country and even one in Australia last summer. Harbaugh and his Michigan football staff participated in almost 40 satellite camps last year. But he supports the new proposal, believe that or not. He said the main thing is for players to showcase their talent and to have football be spread. Love that. All right, Michigan State hockey will honor the late Ron Mason this upcoming year. Mason's initials will be painted behind each net on the ice at Munn Ice Arena. And the team will wear a sticker on the back of their helmets. Now, Mason is the second winningest coach in college hockey history with a career record of 924, 380, and 83 in 36 fantastic years. 635 of those wins came while he coached at Michigan State University. Mason coached the Spartans from 1979 to 02, and then he served as MSU's athletic director from 2002 to 2007. The Spartans' home opener is October 21st. When they host Denver. The Detroit Red Wings beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-2 last night in preseason play. Gustav Nyquist had a goal and two assists. Tyler Bertuzzi, Brendan Smith, Martin Frick, and Steve Ott also added goals. Jared Carew had 30 saves for the Wings and has stopped 82 of 86 shots in three preseason games. Marc-Andre Fleury played the whole game in net for the Pins, who were without star forward Sidney Crosby. However, Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel played and had no points and a -4 combined rating. The Wings play in Toronto against the Maple Leafs tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And the Detroit Pistons return to the court tonight as they play their preseason opener on the road in BK. That's right, Brooklyn, against the Nets at 7:30 p.m. with Reggie Jackson sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks with knee tendonitis. Backup point guard Ish Smith is expected to start. Last year with the Philadelphia 76ers, Smith averaged a little over 14 points per game, 7 assists, and 4.3 rebounds a game, which were all career highs. Now, Smith started all 50 games he played with the 76ers and also averaged 32 minutes per game, another career high. Also, Ray McCollum, the former U of D standout, should see the court as well. The Detroit Tigers have officially exercised Brad Ausmus's fourth-year contract option. We, of course, broke that down on yesterday's show. Al Avila, in his second year as GM, decided to keep Ausmus for another season.
I personally, I've learned a lot after three years. You know, to hire a rookie guy, you know, how we did it back then. You look back and you say, well, maybe we could have done it differently, and I would admit that. But at this point, taking it after 3 years, I think that now it would be a mistake to reverse and say, no, we're going to start with a new person. Because after 3 years investing in this, I think he's gotten better to the point where he is the best guy we can have in moving this team forward.
Yeah, Al Avila also went on to say, quote, Brad was instrumental in leading the team through adversity with the development of our younger players, particularly the younger starting pitchers. The team improved from last season, and under the leadership of Brad and his coaching staff, the ball club kept fighting, end quote. All right, in the National League wildcard game, the San Fran Giants topped the New York Mets 3-0 last night. It's an even year, folks. Did you honestly expect anything other than this?
1-1. And a fly ball well hit right field. Bruce is back, turns, and it's gone! Connor Gillespie with a three-run homer in the top of the ninth to give the Giants the lead.
Connor Gillespie, folks, how about that? One out, two runners on, 1-1 count against one of the best closers in baseball, and that happens. Next up for San Fran is the Chicago Cubs. Game one of that series will take place on Friday at 9 p.m. And Thursday night football is back tonight in an NFC West showdown when the 1-3 Arizona Cards travel to Levi's Stadium to take on the 1-3 San Francisco 49ers at 8:25 p.m. Cardinals backup and former Michigan State quarterback Drew Stanton will make the start for Carson Palmer. Palmer was ruled out of tonight's game due to a concussion that he suffered during last Sunday's game against the LA Rams. Now, the 49ers will be counting on running back Carlos Hyde, who leads the league with 5 rushing touchdowns in 4 games so far, and quarterback Blaine Gabbert to run Chip Kelly's high-speed offense. The 49ers will also miss a key defensive player as inside linebacker Navarro Bowman was placed on IR this week due to an injury on his Achilles tendon. All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
those guys over there need to be really careful. Like, you know, they don't need to be speaking out on their teammate. They need to keep that in-house because they can lose him. You know, and I'm being honest, like, they need to rally behind him and give him the support he needs and handle that stuff in-house, whether good or bad. Because whether they like it or not, he's the best player on that team.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Again, I am your host, Al Martin. Really hope that you guys are having a fantastic week. Can't believe it's already Thursday. I feel like I say that each and every week when Thursday comes around. This week has certainly flown by. We are now just one day away from the weekend. And of course, on Saturday, the Michigan State football team resumes play at home after, of course, losing to Indiana on the road on Saturday night. They will take on BYU. That's right, Brigham Young. In an out-of-conference matchup, an odd year, just an odd schedule for Michigan State this year. I mean, they have a week two bye, and then two conference games in to the year, they take a break from Big Ten play to take on BYU at home. So that will be a 3:36 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. And, of course, there's a lot of conversation surrounded around this team as expectations have not been met coming into this year, to say the least, folks. And we will invite to the show later on in this hour our dear friend James Moore, who is a former MSU fullback for that 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. Many people remember James as being, you know, kind of like the bodyguard of Lorenzo White during that time, because James had some really nice blocks during that year that allowed White to just do work, right? Also, James is a Lansing Sexton grad and assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers football team. If you've been keeping up with high school football this year, you know that the Panthers have been absolutely rolling. I feel like every year we say that because that's just a program that has operated at a high level on a consistent basis, at least every year I've been a reporter in the area. I mean, what Rob Zimmerman and that coaching staff that now includes James Moore, what they've done is just remarkable. So we'll dive into yet another fantastic year for the Panthers because, you know, you can only imagine that, you know, this is a squad now that has reached a level where you expect them to get to the big dance every single year. Get this, they've outscored opponents 195 to 21 over the last 4 weeks. That's nuts. That's really crazy. So James will join us on the show to break down the Michigan State football year thus far and to also break down what is taking place with the DeWitt Panthers on the gridiron as well. You don't want to miss that chat. We've got Throwback Thursday on tap and so much more. Again, if you want to be a part of our airwaves, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As promised, during the final closing minutes of yesterday's Current Sports, we begin today's show piggybacking on the conversation that we started concerning Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. is really, his name has been in headlines throughout this week due to what took place on Monday night when he decided to have a, for lack of better terms, just really a temper tantrum. Due to I didn't really get it, to be honest with you. I mean, we saw him. I mean, he had a career low, like 20-plus yards in that game. We have yet to see him find the end zone. Odell Beckham Jr. has not had a touchdown catch this entire year. Just hasn't had a great year thus far, folks. The Giants end up losing that game on MNF 24-10, a road loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And we saw Odell Beckham Jr. get flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct after a catch in which he goes out of bounds and just starts popping off at the mouth. And we heard Eli Manning during that press conference, you know, afterwards, Eli popped off and said, you know what? Yeah, to not quote him exactly, but basically you got the message of what Eli was saying. Basically, he's becoming a distraction. Okay. Simple as that. So you heard our engineer, Isaac Constance, on yesterday's show. He closed out the show with his thoughts on it. And Isaac, again, just to remind our listeners, I mean, you have, and it's funny because right now in studio, we have Luke Robbins, Zach Swiezicki, as well as Griffin Wasik. And I was telling them, yeah, Isaac commented on it yesterday, and they didn't know that you had a connection with Odell, seeing as though you both went to middle school together.
Yeah, and I grew up with the guy my whole life, pretty much. He was actually a good friend, I considered him. Not great, not best friends, not close.
Yeah, not best friends forever, right?
But,
yeah.
You know, we stayed in touch, and actually, I kept up with him throughout high school and saw him off his senior year when he went and made the decision to choose LSU over University of Miami. But he and I grew up going to St. Andrew's Episcopal School together, school in Uptown New Orleans, played basketball together. I was the only third grader on the sixth grade team. And actually, even back then, he hit a full court shot in the district championship as the clock expired. And you'll never believe this, they called it off. If a sixth grader can throw it the length of the court, you think they'd give it to him. But whatever, that's a different place, different time.
He's just an all-around fantastic athlete, isn't he?
He was recruited by European soccer teams as well. And growing up, this kid, Al, I know you've been on your workout grind recently. Mm-hmm. He looked like you in sixth grade. He just had the genes for it. He had all the natural ability. But anyway, Odell, really nice kid growing up. Went to Newman for high school, the same place that Peyton Manning and Eli Manning attended in New Orleans. Then, of course, college, he went to LSU. And ever since, I haven't really kept in touch with him. But he was a really nice kid growing up.
Now,
I'm not sure if it's the case anymore.
Now, your thoughts on Odell, you basically came out and said Odell has become a distraction. On yesterday's show, you basically said that. And I agree with you 1,000% on that, Isaac. I think that Odell, when you look at his career thus far, I mean, you know, when he came out that first year and broke out on the scene, I mean, we all know about that ridiculous catch that he had on Sunday Night Football where he was basically parallel to the ground, one-handed, and that became like a meme everywhere, right? His talent is undeniable. He is one of the best wide receivers I have ever seen play the game of football. And it seemed like after that year, after that season, his popularity blew up, Isaac. I mean, the dude was everywhere. Endorsements came out of nowhere. I remember I was watching, I believe it was like the American Music Awards or maybe the VMAs or something like that. And you know Zendaya, who's a big name in pop culture. Zendaya is there, and her date was Odell Beckham Jr., and they're both walking the carpet, and there's that hilarious bite that we played on Current Sports where, you know, his dad was sort of being the...
Oh, yeah.
Well, Zendaya's dad was basically the chaperone of the date that night. He doesn't even call it a date. He says, when you see Zendaya and Odell alone without me, then you can call it a date, okay? But, you know, we talked about that hilarious moment. I mean, if you turn on your television, he's on commercials. You know, we see him hanging out with celebrities left and right. I mean, just hanging out with Justin Bieber at Justin Bieber's house. I mean,
roomed with Drake over the summer.
Yeah, roomed with Drizzy Drake over the summer. I mean, his popularity has grown so much in such a confined area of time. You know what I mean? Just so quick. It just seems kind of like an overnight success, if you will, right? And I wondered, you know, honestly, when looking at the popularity that Odell has accrued now, in the back of my head, I was saying, I just hope that this young kid, I believe he's what, 23 years old. I was saying to myself, I really hope this young kid does not let it get to his head. Simple as that. And I think that what we've seen from Odell, the acting out, and, you know, we mentioned on yesterday's show how he hit the kicker's net and the kicker's net fell on him, and, you know, the cussing on the sidelines and the unsportsmanlike penalty that we saw against the Vikings on Monday Night Football this week. Yeah, right? I mean, to me, Isaac, it seems like it's gone to his head a bit. You know, he's become the prima donna wide receiver, the cliche prima donna wide receiver that we've seen in the game far too often with the Chad Ochocincos and the Terrell Owens personalities of the world, you know? But for me, I can understand it to, and again, people are going to probably driving around listening to this saying, Al, you're crazy. How can you understand something like that? I understand it to a degree, because anytime you have success like that so quickly, people respond to it in different ways, okay? And obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. has responded to it the wrong way, where he has clearly become a distraction for his team. So I'm not condoning his attitude whatsoever. At the end of the day, you are a professional football player. Keyword, professional. You have to conduct yourself as a professional. All of the sideshow act, that becomes a distraction for your team because the cameras are looking for it now. You got play, especially Odell is going to, this is going to be a huge challenge for him because he is now going to have to, looking at how he's responded to players sort of getting in his head, he's going to have to deal with this tenfold now because his opposition on a week-to-week basis, if they see him reacting like this, and they're just going to keep poking the bear, and they're going to expect Odell to sort of keep those, they're going to see if he can keep those emotions in check. But now, if he heard it in the past, he's going to hear it tenfold now. But a lot of the responsibility, a lot of the behavior that we've seen from Odell Beckham Jr. is what I like to call enabled behavior, Isaac. The coaching staff did not nip this in the bud when they first saw it. Based on Odell Beckham Jr. being such a supreme talent in the NFL, the coaching staff could have easily said, you know what, Odell, let me chat with you for a sec. If you continue this behavior, if you continue to take attention away from what we're trying to accomplish on the football field, recess is going to be taken away from you. You are going to have to be benched. Simple as that. But what did they do? No, they kept him in the game. Nobody really said anything to him. And you see what happened the following week. So even though I agree, Odell Beckham Jr.'s behavior has not reflected that of a professional in the National Football League. And the temper tantrums have certainly got out of hand. The coaching staff should have manned up and not let it gotten to this point and said, you know what, maybe we need to talk to this young man. Maybe he needs to sit out a little bit. Because obviously, if they find him, Isaac, I mean, this is a dude who has, like I said, he has endorsements everywhere. He's a first-round draft pick, for goodness sake. He's got millions of dollars. Finding him would do nothing. But if you sit him out, maybe a half or two, maybe even a game if it continues, I think he will get the message then. So a lot of this, and it kind of reminds me of what took place with Jameis Winston at Florida State. I mean, the constant ridiculous acts that he had when he was in college, did the coaching staff do anything to chastise him? Not at all. I think they're getting the message now. One more layer here before I turn the mic over to you. Looking at Eli Manning and what he had to say about Odell Beckham Jr., I had a problem with it, Isaac. You know why? Because anytime your teammate clearly has a problem, so to speak, like acting out, you know what I mean? You those are personal things that should be dealt with in-house. You know what I mean? You don't air your dirty laundry like that. You know, if you think Odell Beckham Jr. is becoming a distraction, you don't tell the media that. You holler at him in the friendly confines of the New York Giants organization. I had a problem with that. And now I've looked at other quotes from players on the New York Giants team, and they have come, actually, they have Odell's back, which they should have. You know what I mean? I mean, that's their teammate at the end of the day. I mean, at the end of the day, it should be I have your back mentality. And I had a problem when Eli came out and made those comments via the world to see.
Yeah, I thought we might get into a little bit of a dispute today, Al. We won't. You are spot on 100%. Because when I saw Brandon Marshall's comments scroll across my phone, mm-hmm. and they were saying pretty much, what are they doing? They're going to ruin this man's career. You keep this in-house, indoors, inside the locker room. And the Giants have blown this to a new extent. Mm-hmm. It's out of proportion now. The guy throws tantrum, sure, but it's not like he's beating up women off the field or anything like that. At the end of the day, this is somebody, and I can tell you this personally, this is not the case of somebody, and we've had this discussion before, coming up from nothing and then acted stupid with his money. That's not this case. This is not a stupid man. This is a very mm-hmm. smart guy who has become spoiled, and that mm-hmm. all plays into the word that you used, entitled, in that they've enabled this behavior. They've let it go on for too long. We could see this starting to germinate when he was at LSU. He became an international superstar. Then he was picked number 12 overall by the New York Giants.
And you know, going back to that, I don't think we saw any behavior issues, though, when he was in college.
Didn't.
Am I right?
No, you're right. But there were the mumblings that, okay, this guy's acting a little bit like a superstar, a little bit like a prima donna, and that just continued to blossom. If you're acting that way as a freshman in college, you better believe that's only going to grow and enhance from that point on. Mm-hmm. But Odell, the thing is, I'm not sure if we've ever seen a more meteoric rise from an athlete since Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm not exaggerating with that. I don't think I am. Considering the caliber of the sport, the popularity of professional football, where he was drafted, Kobe was number 13, I believe. Odell was number 12.
Yep.
So both were big names, but at the same time, they weren't the number one pick. They weren't the Heisman winner. Kobe went from college. Odell was, or high school, Odell was a wide receiver. So both these guys weren't necessarily accustomed to all of the attention. Both had the electrifying, attaching personalities that fans just wanted to latch onto. And we saw it totally blow out of proportion. The thing is, they need to make sure that Odell's talent matches Kobe's competitive drive. They need to turn this anger, this frustration, into a whole nother area in a whole nother direction.
You got to channel. It's all about how you channel it. Because
exactly.
I think that, you know, it's kind of the same thing I said about Draymond Green. What makes Draymond Green so good on the basketball court is that he is emotional. Is that, you know, he uses that emotion to rally him when he's playing out there playing a game of basketball. Odell Beckham Jr. and these temper tantrums show that he cares. You know, and it shows that he wants to win. It shows that he's not out there just going through the motions and collecting the check at the end of the day.
Exactly.
He wants to be great. And I see that. But there's certain reform that you have to go through in order to do that. There's a certain way you act on the field if you want to be great. And I think he'll learn. I mean, he's 23 years old. And again, I'm not saying that's an excuse, but he's a young wide receiver who has gone to instant fame, and he's still trying to figure out how to navigate that. And again, it's easy for us to stand behind mics and be on radio shows and to criticize a dude, but I can only imagine. I mean, if I just went to superstardom just like that in that amount of time, I may be milking it up too, Isaac.
Not everybody can deal with it like I have, Al, I gotta say.
Good point, right? All right, let's hit our first, well, before we hit our first break, let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing there, L. Martin? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to know, is this another form of Fox Sports and ESPN playing the heroes and the villains so they can have something to talk about on all they daytime talk shows?
Now, I must say, Mike, I have to agree with you and say yes, because I tell you what, great point, Mike. Yesterday, I drove into work, right? And, you know, I have my radio on, and I'm listening to ESPN Radio. And they had a whole rant about Herman Edwards, former coach in the NFL. Herman Edwards went on this rant, and they had him breaking down what's wrong with Odell Beckham Jr. And I tell you, I have about a 7 to 10 minute drive from my apartment to our studio here on the campus of Michigan State University. The entire drive was filled with conversation on OBJ. Today. On the drive from my apartment, I listened to the same station, ESPN Radio, just about every day on my drive from my apartment to here to the station, the same exact conversation with another NFL analyst analyzing what is wrong with OBJ. Both days, two times on my drive to work, that's what they were talking about, Isaac. I got a problem with that, okay? And especially with the MLB playoffs taking place. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you make a great point there, Mike. I could not have necessarily thought up that myself, but now that you say it, in the NFL, we hear that all the time. You know, players curse, players smash helmets. Only when a superstar, and a superstar with a bad record, does it make news. Every single thing that Odell does, which is a sign of frustration, is, oh, he's acting out of control. Where that happens every single game in the NFL from role players time and time again.
But you know what, man? Sports media is slowly but surely and sadly becoming like TMZ. It really is. Like, it's becoming like Entertainment Tonight or Inside Edition, where, you know, if anything happens, you know, away from the football field or away from the hardwood or whatever sport it is, it dominates the headlines instead of breaking down the X's and O's of sports. And I tell you what, though. I mean, can you blame ESPN, though? because people eat this stuff up. You know what I mean? People love to talk about drama. You know what I mean? Heck, we're leading the show with OBJ, so I guess we're at fault as well, Isaac.
Of course we are.
But you know, people love to hear this stuff. At the end of the day, it's all about your listener. It's all about your viewer. It's all about your readers. If they like that stuff, heck, as much as it hurts, I guess we got to put it out, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
And I got to really ask you, though, is Peyton, is the Manning brother, that's the quarterback, is he really not as good as he once was?
I love Eli. I love Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning is still one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league. Why do you say that, Mike?
The reason why I say that is because the Giants team has been. I'm watching it. I'm listening to it from afar. Sometimes I listen to the FAN in New York every now and then. But I'm just looking at the Giants team, and to me, the Giants team don't look as they're not exceptional at all in anything. You know, it's just
that defense, Mike. If you look at the stats, they are arguably the best defense in football. Arguably. Now, they did have a problem against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday, but the Vikings, as the weeks have gone by here, we've seen that the Vikings are really an elite team in the NFL right now. But that Vikings defense, when you look at the numbers, the defense is pretty solid, Mike.
I'm just talking because I said Eli Manning to me, it seemed like he won two Super Bowls. He won more than I think his brother won two, too. But it's like when the quarterback starts sliding. Okay. I'm off.
All right, Mike. Well, we got to go. I see you do, too. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will bring on Mr. James Moore, former MSU fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl champs, Lansing Sexton grad, as well as assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers high school football team. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, it is October 6th, 2016. Man, time flies when you're having fun, and we certainly have been having fun throughout this week here on Current Sports. Hey, if you missed any of the action on our airwaves, you know that all you got to do is simply go to WKAR.org to check out any show that you might have missed this week or in the show's history, okay? We usually post it up online around 3 o'clock, so check it out if you want to get a quick recap on what we've been chatting about, all right, folks? Right now, I want to invite to the show briefly here three of our outstanding Current Sports production assistants as well as Current Sports beat reporters, and they have their very first stories, their very first content on our WKAR.org website as we speak, and a great plethora of stories for anyone who lives here locally and wants to find out more about the local sporting scene. Right now, it is truly my pleasure to welcome to the show Luke Robbins, Zach Swiezicki, as well as Griffin Wasik. Fellas, first off, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, Al.
So I want to start first with Luke. My right, your guys' left. I want to start with Luke first because, Luke, you have an interesting story centered on Michigan State football. Now, not Michigan State football, but another Michigan State football team. Can you explain?
Yeah, the beat that I got is the Michigan State club football team. And I think the biggest difference that I've learned covering through them is it's not an intramural team. You know, they play real teams. They practice in pads. And the biggest thing is they have 11 coaches that are all volunteers. You know, they don't get paid at all. And they all travel about an hour away to come practice and teach these guys, you know, how to play football better.
And it's very interesting because we actually had the former coach. Now, I believe they're in their second year, right?
Yes, this is their second year.
Well, in the first year, Al Manfroni was the head coach. They made a coaching change now.
Yes.
11 coach? I didn't know they have 11 coaches. That's really admirable. And again, what amazes me about any club sport for that matter, let alone club football, is that, I mean,
all of the players and all of the coaches. I mean, they're providing their time. They get mm-hmm. nothing out of this other than what, wins and maybe a trophy at the end of the day if they do well in the season. I mean, why do they do what they do?
The coaches do it because they love their players. You know, this is their second year, and the coaching staff, a couple of them came back from last year, and they just love the players so much. They just see them as their sons. You know, mm-hmm. many of them are parents already, but this is a different kind of family. This is their family away from home. And the players are just so dedicated to the game, and they want to get better, and they love their coaches too.
Luke Robbins, current sports beat reporter. You can check out MSU Club Football, a labor of love for coaches and players right now live on our WKAR.org website. All right, next we have Griffin Wasik, who has an interesting story centered around the Holt basketball team. Is that right, Griffin?
That is correct, Al. So I cover the Holt High School beat, and I did a story on Jaron Faulds. He's a 6'10" power forward center, and he's a 4-star basketball recruit. He committed to play basketball at Columbia. But what I learned from him is academics play a huge role. He definitely wants to play basketball at the next level. That's why he's going to Columbia. But, I mean, he told me some pretty funny stories about him being so tall. Like
6'10".
6'10",
oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And he's been that pretty much his whole life. He was 6'4" in eighth grade. But, I mean, when he first moved into his mom's house, he walks into the kitchen, and his head hits the chandelier, and it comes crashing down and shatters all over the floor. You know, little things like that, like driving a car. When he looks out the windows, it's the back windows, because he reclines his chair so far back, or else like he would hit his head on the top of the car. So
you got to be kidding me. So he's 6'10". You said a 4-star recruit.
Yep,
what year is he?
He's a senior right now in high school.
What other schools? Did MSU come a knocking?
Well, he was interested in MSU, but they didn't really pursue the interest so well. But, I mean, Oakland, Central, DePaul, other mid-majors like that.
Very cool stuff. So we can learn more about Faulds by just, again, going to WKAR.org. That story is entitled Hope Basketball's Faulds is Thinking Big. I like that headline, Griffin. All right, Zachary Swiezicki. Soccer, right?
Yes, sir.
What do you got for us?
Well, when I first got to MSU, I was like, all right, they got a good football team, good basketball team, right? And then I kind of, you know, I'm walking by the field one day, I start talking to my buddies, oh, you know, they got a pretty good soccer team. And then later that year, they make the Final Four. Next year, they make the Final Four.
Yeah.
Last year, nothing. So this year, I'm covering the Michigan State men's varsity soccer team. I really wanted to know how did they build this really soccer powerhouse almost in the Midwest. The Big Ten's really had a good conference for soccer in recent years, but I really wanted to dive in, like, how did they get this? How is Damon Rensing, the head coach, recruiting the top guys in the state, out of the state? How is he bringing them into Michigan, into the cold weather?
Definitely, and what you know, you mentioned the back-to-back Final Four appearances. What accounted for the drop-off last year?
Injuries and consistency in the team. They had a lot of young guys last year. One of those guys is Ryan Sierakowski this year. He just had his third straight game-winning goal.
Right.
Just to have one in a year is pretty impressive. Three straights, very impressive. Jimmy Haig, a redshirt sophomore goalkeeper, is also another name to watch if you're following men's soccer.
2-1 was the final at DeMartin Stadium yesterday as the Michigan State men's soccer team top Western. So what will we take away from your article on WKAR.org, Zach?
Anything you want. If you want to know what to expect the rest of the year, go ahead and look at that. I gave a couple of recaps of the Michigan and Maryland games, which were pretty big games in the first half of the year. Follow along for the rest of my content throughout the year.
Gotta love that. They're doing an outstanding job. And that article, Zach's article, was entitled MSU Men's Soccer, Carving Winning Path. All right, Zach, Luke, and Griffin, thanks so much, fellas. Appreciate that.
Thanks,
Thank
Al.
You, Al.
All right, let's get to our guest for today's current sports. His name is James Moore, former MSU fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. Also, he is a Lansing Sexton grad and an assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers football squad. James, what's up, my man?
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Always good chatting with you. Been a long time since we've had you on.
You know what? I was just thinking about that. You and I have been texting back and forth, and it's been a while because, you know, we were doing it on a regular basis, and we kind of fell off. You got busy, my busy schedule.
man, I mean, I missed you guys over there at Current Sports.
Without a doubt. Well, hey, we're glad to have you on our airwaves right now. And before we talk about this incredible start to the year that the DeWitt Panthers football team has had, again, 5-1 on the season, I want to get your thoughts because, again, you have direct ties to the MSU football team, seeing as though you had a great career yourself as the MSU fullback, especially for that 1988 Rose Bowl championship squad. How surprised are you that we are already talking about an 0-2 hole for the Big Ten Conference season start for the MSU football team? How surprising is this for you?
I mean, you know what? It's shocking, man. It's real surprising, disappointing. But you know what? Every team, organization, they go through stuff like this. The key is, how are we going to respond now that we're in this hole? We got to bounce back and put our big boy pants on and do what we got to do.
Of course, one of the stories that have dominated the local headlines around this team is, of course, the play of Tyler O'Connor, MSU's quarterback. He hasn't played great. If you look at his numbers against Indiana, I think that a lot of people are sort of not looking at the bigger picture. I thought he had an overall solid game. It was just a few mistakes on some of the biggest stages throughout that game, circumstances that really hurt Tyler in the views of many. He hasn't been accurate. What do you make of all of the criticism surrounded around Tyler O'Connor, and is it fair?
You know, it's not fair because that's one unique thing about football. You know what? You can't just blame one. You know what I'm saying? And as a team, it starts at the top and works its way to the bottom. Everybody has their fault, their part in this, the slide that we're going through right now. So it's unfortunate that he's taking the brunt of the, you know, of the downfall. But it's a team effort. And you know, when we win together, we win together. When we lose together, we lose together. So it's really not all on him. You know, we all have our part. I mean, that's one unique thing about football, okay? It's not like basketball. It's not like any other sport. You got 11 guys that got to go on that field and do their job. It's like that one weak link can break, you know, it all. So it's unfortunate that he's taking the butt of it. But, you know, it's a team thing. And, you know, I know D'Antonio is taking it first, and he's probably said that. You know, it's falling back on me because he's the head man.
Certainly.
And then,
yep.
And then it goes down the ranks.
Now, if you look at Tyler, of course, him being the starting quarterback for this team, it comes with the territory, right? I mean, anytime you are the quarterback of a Big Ten school like Michigan State University and you don't perform or hit certain expectations – naturally, you're going to get a lot of the blame. Simple as that. It just comes with the territory of being a quarterback. But, you know, it's interesting because in 2016, social media has become such a nasty thing. As much as, you know, there's a lot of great things about social media, but there are a lot of nasty things, especially when it comes to the criticism of public figures like that of a quarterback for a Big Ten school like Michigan State University. And Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, I don't know if you saw his article this week, James, but it talks about, you know, just Twitterverse and how they've really gone on to attack Tyler O'Connor. I just want you to think about this for a minute, James. Do you think, I mean, how would you have handled if let's say Twitter and social media was a thing back when you played in the 80s? I mean, can you imagine handling, you know, if you go out and have a bad game, can you imagine handling the backlash you would receive on social media if you did go out there and muck it up from week to week? I mean, how crazy, how much pressure are on these kids today in comparison to what you had to deal with back in the day?
Compared to what I had to deal with, I tell people nowadays, I would not want to be first of all, where I'm at Eastern High School, I would not want to be a teenager right now, okay? Second of all, I would not want to be a college athlete right now with social media. But what I will do is I will flip that to how it was when I was, because George Perlis used to tell us, if you got thick skin after a game, after a tough loss, after you had a bad game or whatever, don't go out, okay, if you got thin skin, mm-hmm. because you're going to get in trouble. It's mm-hmm. even worse now because of social media. My suggestion, my advice, don't read it. And it's hard. It's hard, but that just comes with the territory now as a starting quarterback in the Big Ten, a receiver, a
the glamorous positions, whatever. And you know what? One thing about it is you got to have thick skin and bounce back and prove them wrong. But like I said, when we were back playing, George said, don't take your butt outside or go out to the club where you got thin skin, because you'll end up getting in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people will probably be talking crap if you go out. Yeah, I totally get that. And you know, you, James, I mean, you're doing some great things in the community. Of course, not only are you the assistant coach of the DeWitt High School football team, but you are also the founder of the SWAP campaign, which is the Speaking with a Purpose campaign, in which you work with today's youth. You teach them the game of football as well as teach them the game of life, right? I mean, which can be that's the biggest challenge right there. When talking with the kids that you work with, James, how do you mentor them when it comes to navigating something such as social media? Have you had an encounter with a kid who has just been bullied via social media or really going through something when it comes to the whole notion of cyberbullying? And how do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, I deal with that every day with the Lansing School District. You know, that's what I work for, a public safety officer. And one thing about it is just trying to communicate with kids and talk to them, because social media is such a big part of everything that's going on right now. And it's learning how to play the game the right way. That's what it all boils back down to. And them having a mentor like myself, or mentees like myself, trying to teach them, and them willing to listen. You know, it's tough. It's really, really tough right now for these kids and social media and the bullying and all of the things that are going on right now. It's actually really scary, and I just pray to God and just continue to ask God to lead me at what I need to do and how I need to do it.
Well, I tell you what, James, you are doing a fantastic job. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with former MSU fullback for the 88 Rose Bowl champs, as well as a Lansing Sexton grad and assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers football team, Mr. James Moore. Really briefly here, James, going back to the MSU football team, in what areas do you see this team lacking, and how big is the challenge to now and get this squad back on the winning track?
I mean, I've been talking to a couple people around town this week. We gotta get some heart back. We gotta get that fight back. We gotta dig down deep and say, okay, because gotta get that killer instinct back. We get up on teams and we never finish the job. That's the problem, and that's where we got to get that killer instinct back and you know, just come out and finish games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm feeling that we're lacking some heart right now. Okay, it's no heart. It's no, you know, we're leaving it all on the field. And
why,
you know,
is
gotta,
that, James? Is that Does that have to be a player coach thing? Does that have to fall on the MSU player captains, or does that fall on the coaching staff? Because you're talking about emotion here. Because I agree with you. I mean, when MSU they've gotten complacent in certain games where they've had big leads, and I think they've sort of, you know, put their foot off the gas. I think it's kind of 50-50 if you ask me, because I think that, especially going back to that Notre Dame game, I mean, when they got that huge lead in the beginning of that game, the play calling, in my opinion, got way too conservative.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. I have a problem with up the middle, up the middle, up the middle. I'm old school. Let's go off tackle. Not up the middle, up the middle. You know, it's play calling. It's conservative.
Right, right. Right.
We could do that back in the day, okay? But they couldn't stop us back then. Now it's a different era. Now you got to do something different. And it does go to play calling, but then again, too, it goes back to those guys on the field. It's a 50-50, and I agree with you. It's 50-50, but we got to do something, because otherwise it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, to say the least, right, James? And also, just briefly, talking about, you know, because we saw a lot of players, you know, go down this past weekend. Of course, we know that Riley Bulla won't be playing this upcoming week. We know that John Reschke also won't be playing this upcoming week. We saw Chris Fry, Darian Hicks also went down. We saw Raekwon Williams. He won't be playing this upcoming week. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Isaac. Is Reschke playing this upcoming week?
I thought he was out for a few weeks.
He's out for a few weeks, right. I'm just making sure. Raekwon Williams is out as well this upcoming week. Brian Allen went down. I think he should be good, though. LJ Scott, we saw him go out briefly and then come back in that game. you know, it's such an odd year for MSU football because you have the bye week coming in week two, James, when after week one against Furman, everybody's still healthy. I mean, not having the luxury of a midseason or late year bye week to rest up and recuperate and try to get more bodies on the football field, how much does that hurt this team?
Oh, that hurts it tremendously. I don't know who did that freaking schedule. Excuse my, I mean, I don't know. I mean, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't say that.
No, you're good. Right. I hear you.
I don't know who did this schedule. That's ridiculous. How are you going to play one game and then have a bye? Come on. I just don't know. I mean, that right there baffled me. I was dead. Like, are you kidding me? And then we play Notre Dame. Then we got 10 games straight.
Mm-hmm.
And, so what can we do now, though?
James, I'm going to put you on the spot here before we transition to high school football. How do you think this team finishes the year?
You know what? I can't even answer that. I can't.
Yeah.
I seen them come out against Furman. I left the game at halftime. Then I read and did some, you know, research. Okay, we didn't show a lot of stuff. We got Notre Dame coming up. We skated by Furman. Then we go to Notre Dame. We play them. We show up. Then we don't show up the second half and allow them back in the game. And then we lay a goose egg. I don't know. It depends on what team shows up. It's Saturday.
Are you confident that this team's goal of possibly going to Indy for a Big Ten championship appearance, how confident are you in that possibly happening?
It could happen, but we need some help.
A lot of it, right?
We need a lot of help. I mean, basically, we got two losses already.
Yeah.
Okay, we need a lot of help. But, you know, it's possible. And trust me, I'm not giving up on the Spartans. I'm a Spartan. I'm a Spartan for life. Got it tattooed on my leg. I'm a Spartan for life. So I'm there. I'm with them. But it hurts right now because we got to do something to change the momentum, change the perception of how we are playing right now.
James Moore, former MSU football great, Lansing Sexton grad and assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers football team. And speaking of the Panthers, James, 5-1 right now, sitting in first place of the CAAC Red. I mean, 11th consecutive league championship with the win last week. You know, how good can this team be? And am I right in saying this, James? Is it a culture now where you expect the Panthers to at least get to the state championship dance at Ford Field every single year?
I mean, you know, that's our goal. You know, one thing that Coach Zim does is, you know, he keeps the kids level. He keeps them focused. We set a goal, and we try to, you know, achieve that goal. You know, you fall short when you don't make it to the state finals or you don't win one. But, you know, our kids are working hard. We got a really good group of kids. We got a really good coaching staff. And it starts at the top with Coach Jim. You know, he's a phenomenal coach, phenomenal man, family man, and, you know, just really cares about the kids. And that's what the staff is surrounded with, all caring about the kids, and they're all their families too. So, you know, we do expect to win, but we expect to win because we put the work in. And that's you know, why we are where we're at and why – Coach Jim and the staff, and we have, you know, had so much success. You know, this is just my third year with them, and they've been doing this for a lot longer than I've been with them. So I'm just like a grad assistant, you know, fitting in and working and learning from, you know, one of the best high school coaches in the state of Michigan.
Rob Zimmerman certainly is, and you know, and you look at the players, you know, that accompany this team. I mean, I can bring up names like a J.D. Ross. I can talk about Alan Smith. I can bring up David Locker. I mean, Darren Weber Jr. I mean, there's so many pieces, so many dominant pieces on this football team. What do you think makes it special, James?
You know, what I really think makes it special is, and I'm going to go back, you know, to winter conditioning and when you have a six-week program and you have 39, and the numbers may be off a little bit, but when you have 36 guys out of 39 show up at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning for 6 weeks in a row, 5 days a week, that right there is commitment. That right there is what builds a program.
Definitely. What have you learned from Coach Zimmerman?
oh man, I've learned. I mean, where do I start at? You know, and I'm still learning because, you know, his offense is so complex. You know, he does so much. And he's such a, you know, his mind is always clicking at offensive plays and offensive schemes. And it's just amazing. And I just sit back and watch him and listen to him and watch him coach him, watch him call the plays, you know, on the sideline because I'm helping sit in the sending formation, signals in and stuff. But it's just amazing just watching him and just learning, just absorbing. I'm like a kid, man. I'm like a kid in a candy store, you know, just trying to absorb and take it all in.
Certainly. And you guys have St. John's tomorrow night. What are you expecting in that game, James?
All we do is expect our kids to go out and play hard and leave it on the field. I feel that they can't stop our offense. We just got to go out and play, take one game at a time. We got to go out playing like we played everybody, like we played Owosso, like we played Hope. But like we played Grand Ledge. We got to go out and leave it all on the field and have no expectations. Go out and do what we've been doing all week.
And St. John's, of course, coming off a 42-7 win over Owosso. They sit at 3-3 on the year. Again, they will take on the 5-1 DeWitt Panthers football team. James, you're doing one heck of a job. You keep it up, my friend, and it was a fantastic chat having you on this afternoon.
Hey, as usual, I appreciate you, brother, and we won't be this long again. We'll get together real soon again. And I'm still trying to do lunch with you, man.
Hey, put me down, man. Let's do it.
You got to come over here to Eastern and have lunch with me so you can see how it is over here.
You got it. We'll book it soon, okay?
Okay, buddy. Hey, have a good one.
The one, the only James Morris. He fantastic or what? Again, former MSU fullback for the 88 Rose Bowl champs, Lansing Sexton grad, and assistant coach for the DeWitt Panthers. Isaac, you got any chance to check out DeWitt this year so far?
Have not. I know DeWitt and Grand Ledge, of course, played the record-setting, record-breaking game earlier in the year, and yeah. I really want to make my way over, but have not seen any DeWitt or Grand Ledge just yet.
Really good teams. I'll tell you that. It's so crazy that we only have 3 more weeks until the regular season is done in high school football. I mean, where the heck is the time gone, right? Unbelievable stuff. All right, well, 3 minutes left here in the show. You guys know that we love to close out each and every Thursday edition of Current Sports by hopping into our CS time machine and taking a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks, it is October 6th. So what exactly happened on October 6th in sports history? Well, we go back all the way to 1882. The first World Series game took place. Cincinnati beats Chicago 4-0. How about that? All right. Oh, boy, the glory days, huh? The Detroit Tigers in 1908 beat the Chicago White Sox 7-0 to win the AL pennant. And the Tigers are not even in the playoffs. All right. 1910, the Braves beat the Phillies 20-7. How about that? In 1911, Cy Young's farewell appearance in a major league game is a letdown as he loses to Brooklyn 13-3 in a Braves uniform in his 906th game. And in 1920, the first brothers oppose each other in the World Series. Cleves Wheeler Johnston pinch hits as his brother Jimmy plays third base for Brooklyn. So there you have that. Well, less than a minute left in the show. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Man, time flies. Thank you all for listening to this Thursday edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.